Welcome to How I Raised It, the podcast that goes behind the scenes with entrepreneurs who've raised capital. We uncover the tips, tricks, and techniques they use to get investors to write a check. Strap in and turn it up.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of How I Raised It, produced by Foundersuite.com. Today with me, I have Alex Cantor of Ordermark, coming to us from Santa Monica. It looks like a beautiful day there. How's your day going, Alex?
Oh, it's going great. Thanks for having me on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to have you. So what is Ordermark, and where'd you come up with this idea?
Sure. So, I grew up in the restaurant industry. My family has a restaurant in LA called Cantor's Deli. It's been there for 87 years.
Oh, wow.
Started by my great grandfather originally, and then passed to my grandfather, to my dad, and my entire family actually still works day to day in the business. It's a historic landmark in LA, and I got to witness firsthand what it was like to grow up in that situation. It's, the deli culture is in my blood.
Is it in downtown LA, or what part of LA is it?
It's in West Hollywood.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, sort of city. And awesome. It was, growing up, I was responsible for bringing in any new technology. I, at a very young age, was waiting tables, working behind the deli counter, learned how to bake, all the different positions. And as I got older, I started bringing in new technology and discovered online ordering platforms, starting with Grubhub, and then DoorDash and Eat24, and all these services started popping up. And with each one, we started receiving more orders through these different third-party platforms. But also, with each one, we got another piece of technology to manage and another iPad on the wall. And 14 tablets later, the area behind the deli counter, we actually called the war zone. That's how intense it was back there. And the staff wanted to kill us, and we were doing, substantial business over about a third of our revenue through these different third party platforms. So it became, extremely significant for us. And rather than, turning off services once it got out of hand, we wanted to come up with a way to actually streamline all of these services into a single device and create an order to the flow of how we were receiving these orders. We were messing up a bunch of orders originally, not confirming orders in time, so a bunch of orders were getting canceled. And when you have all these different interfaces, it becomes very challenging to train the staff how to use each one and which one to prioritize first. And so we sort of took a step back and said, let's create a solution for this. And that was the birth of Ordermark.
Mm. Interesting. So it's solving that problem of like proliferation of, ordering services. But I guess if you guys just decided, if Cantor Deli decided just to use DoorDash and force all your customers to just use DoorDash, does that solve the problem or no?
No, actually, a lot of restaurants we found have made that mistake of saying, we're going to pick who our online ordering service provider is. And realistically, in LA, if we were to, for example, just go with DoorDash, we might be limiting ourselves to about 8% of the market of what our full potential is. And it's really not going to move the needle for us. It's really, each one of these apps, they have their own customers. They make it really easy for their users to just open the app. It has their credit card information saved, their location, their previous order history, and they're spending millions and millions of dollars on driving app downloads, customer acquisition. So each one has its own customers. And just by being on these platforms, you're becoming visible to these customers. I always say, when someone opens their Grubhub app when they're hungry, if your restaurant isn't listed there, you don't exist. There's 0% chance you're going to get an order from that customer.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's interesting. And so basically, Ordermark sits on top of all these, and it's like a single point of interface for the actual deli workers or restaurant workers, right?
Yeah, the goal is just to really take a step back and simplify from a fulfillment perspective, make it really easy for restaurants to actually embrace this and not be scared of it. And when originally I was going out looking through my network to see, you know, what other restaurants were doing to deal with this situation, and one of the biggest things we learned in that process was, you know, not just is it a consolidation issue, it's a lot of these restaurants, they don't even know which online ordering services are relevant in their zip code, nor do they know which one's actually going to send them like orders. Each one, some have their own drivers, others don't. And so it's very complicated to take, you know, your brick and mortar restaurant and sort of transition it to this new e-commerce phase of the restaurant industry. There's a lot of learning costs involved, and I wish that someone had come to me when I was first getting started and said, you know, here's how you should set up your menu, here's how your packaging should look. So really we're an online ordering management platform for these restaurants.
Very interesting. And is it a monthly subscription or is it some sort of other model?
Yeah, we have we charge a fixed monthly rate to our restaurants to be able to use our services. We really opened up we facilitate the ability to expand these online ordering companies.
Do you
we're working with all different types of restaurants, actually. Originally, we thought we'd be working with a lot of restaurants that were already on a bunch of services, and then we actually discovered that there's a lot of restaurants like Yogurtland, where we came in, they weren't doing any online ordering, and we've now brought them onto a couple different platforms for some of their franchisees.
Yeah, I was going to ask, that kind of segues. Do you do your sales through, you know, by partnering up with Grubhub and piggybacking on their distribution and sales, or are you more the front end sales piece and you'll bring in, you know, the ordering apps? You know,
sure. While ultimately we're here to help as many restaurants as possible, we're actually also looking at how do we make the online order, how do we make it better for the online ordering services? And realistically, a lot of these guys, they don't want to be hardware companies. And so not only are we able to save them a lot of hardware costs up front, but we're also acting as a free sales force for them, going door to door saying, you know, we're going to help bring you to all of these great third-party online ordering platforms. And we've already signed up, you know, hundreds of restaurants onto these third-party platforms. And it's funny, there's a story where Grubhub, they've been trying to get a restaurant onboarded to their platform for a couple of years now. And we walked in and sold it as an entire package. And so when we went to submit that contract on behalf of that restaurant, they were like, how did you get these guys? We've been trying to get them for years. And we were able to facilitate that because we're not looking at each one individually. It's the whole picture.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. So how long have you guys been around and how did you finance OrderMark, or how did you, you know, did you bootstrap it for a while?
So we started the company actually January 2017, so last year.
Oh, you're pretty new. Very new. Yeah.
Fairly new company. We have actually quite a large co-founding team. We've covered every age gap. It's funny, all of the founders are actually like 10 years apart from each other, me being the youngest, all the way up to, we have our CFOs in their 60s and everything in between. And most of my co-founders have been CEOs previously. And this is my first time where I'm leading a company that's, you know, a bunch of other CEOs. And so it's been a really wonderful experience to be able to rely on my team members, and they, you know, they know some of the challenges that I'm facing, so they know how to respond well to certain situations. It's been
what's that like managing? I don't know. I guess you're in your 20s. I'm just ballparking. What's that like managing, you know, the 50s and 60s and 40-year-olds?
it's a great perspective. We're a very collaborative company. You know, nothing is like commanding. It's all, you know, working with each other, leaning on our strengths, and it's been a great group of people. I'm really, really happy with my team and what we've built and been able to accomplish in about a year's time. It's great.
So, okay. So that first, when did you raise, you've only raised one round, right? It's a seed round.
So we actually, we started working on the product. One of the first things we did right off the bat was we partnered with Epson, the printing company, who basically, has been an incredible partner. They totally understand the pain point, being, the largest printer service in a lot of these restaurants, working with a bunch of POS systems. And so they really helped open up some channels for us, and they're helpful on the marketing side as well. But really, they sent us a couple of thermal printers to work with. We started working with their cloud service and got to a level where we were at Canner's actually for the first couple months, working out of a booth was our first office. And a couple months in, we realized we needed to really pour some gasoline on the product development and start working with some restaurants. So we started fundraising. We had basically no money to work with, but we had a restaurant to actually test this with. And I had understood the challenges growing up, so I knew a lot of the complications involved with what we were looking to do. And it was actually a cousin of mine who put the first check in. I didn't even know that she was an investor, and she was trying to recruit me to help work with her real estate company. And we ended up, I ended up showing her a deck that we were working on, and she was like, I really want to help you. And she put in the first 50K, which I'm forever grateful for. She really believed in the team and me to actually execute all these ideas that we were, discussing. And through her, we actually met our biggest angel investor, who is now become our CTO of our company. His name's Gary Abrams, and he really believed in Mike and I. Mike is one of our co-founders. He had built an online ordering company in the past, and my extensive knowledge of the restaurant industry, he really thought it was the right team to get this done. And we ended up negotiating and doing a convertible note to raise a total of around 750K.
Okay.
Which we had a couple tranches, and that was last summer. That we got the first money in, really, to start, taking the training wheels off. And we brought on a couple people on the team. We hired our first employee was someone who was just leaving Uber Eats. And then from there, we did our first expo, started working with, some restaurants in LA, got our first couple chains on board, and really sort of hit the ground running. And that was the momentum that really helped us get to where we are today. It was extremely helpful to meet Gary. He's an amazing CTO. He had a data company before this and grew a huge team and had an exit. So he had some real experience building enterprise technology. And we knew right off the bat he'd be extremely helpful for leveling us up to where we need to be.
So he's both your angel investor and your CTO. And did he take that whole 750K note himself, or did he raise that from peers of his, or what?
He ended up doing the majority of that 750K. Like I said, 50K was from a cousin. We had 50K from another investor as well. And then he took the rest with an investment group that he set up. He's just an angel that was looking for the next opportunity. So the timing was great. We met him, and right off the bat, we weren't expecting to raise that amount so quickly. We thought, we'd be doing it in smaller check sizes, like most companies start off with. But it was great to just meet somebody and say, we don't want to do this one check at a time. Like, let's just get the funding. We know we need to get this thing off the ground. And he was totally on board with that. He's like, I don't want you to waste any more time, in the fundraising process. Like, let's just start building.
Yeah.
And I love that mentality.
And so that was sort of over the summer. And then, but more recently you announced Your is it Series A or seed? Seed round.
It's a seed round, mm-hmm. although the lines are a little blurred these days. You never yeah. know. We were adding a lot of restaurants month over month. Our growth at one point was like, I think we were growing like 100 to 200% month over month our first couple months, as you can imagine. And then we actually, this is a funny story. I got, we've been posting all of our traction and all of our clients on LinkedIn. And I got a message from this guy, Michael Ross, who, at first I thought it was actually spam, just because of the way that it was worded. It was like, I'm an angel VC, like with a $2.6 million syndicate. And I get so many like messages on LinkedIn where it's like someone baiting me to try and, you know, look at whatever their company is. So you never know when you're getting a cold message on LinkedIn, but I ended up taking it seriously and I responded and he wanted to grab lunch with me. So we went out and I shared our story with him and he was so, you know, compelled and wanted to help out. And right off the bat, he was like, I'd love to, you know, I have the perfect person in mind that I'd like to introduce you to. And it ended up being Eitan Alves from 10110 Ventures, who, you know, was had a very impressive entrepreneurial background with Google and, you know, his company got acquired. And we were obviously very open to taking a meeting. We didn't know if we were at the point where we were going to be doing another raise or what we were going to be doing. But, you know, as soon as someone says they're interested in investing, I jumped on the opportunity and wanted to take it seriously. So we ended up meeting Eitan, first person that Michael Ross introduced us to, and it was a home run introduction. Eitan was so smart about the way he was thinking about the future of our business. He was like, it was like he already got it, like right off the bat. And he brought in David Waxman, his partner at 10110. And basically, after a couple meetings, they asked if we were ready to start raising again. And we said, absolutely. Like, you know, we've tested the product market fit and we're ready to start, you know, jumping in on a deeper level. And we had been talking with a couple of our previous investors as well about how we might need to start raising soon. And, you know, we're throwing out different valuation amounts, but it didn't really mean much because we were still really early. So we sort of let the market determine, you know, what the valuation was. And
sure,
we had a number in mind of what we wanted to raise at a certain point. It was around $2 million. So, you know, we started by saying we'd like to raise $2 million and, you know, anything can help at this point. And 10110 ended up setting the terms and we got to a valuation that everyone was aligned with. And they put the first check in for $750,000, which was extremely helpful. And then after that moment, they introduced us to all these different VCs to help fill in the rest of the round. And Mike and I actually flew up to San Francisco to take a couple meetings with some of the guys up there. Definitely a different mentality than a lot of the LA VCs who are a little more chill and laid back.
Interesting.
And really what we were looking for was a team of people that we can, you know, that we would enjoy working with and that can actually help us when things were going not the way we wanted them to. And in San Francisco, it felt like we couldn't be as honest as we wanted to be about, you know, different challenges that we're facing as a business and things that were coming up. So we didn't end up taking any money from any of the SF guys, and we came back down to LA and ended up meeting Act One Ventures, who is a local firm. They're affiliated with a lot of investments in UCLA with Michael. He's been incredibly helpful as well. And also through them, we met Mucker Capital, who ended up putting the last lead investment check in. So between between 10110, Act One, and Mucker, they each basically were considered major investors and put in, you know, an amount that qualified them to get the terms that they wanted. And we're just extremely grateful for our team that we have now. Really solid people from different experiences, and all of them are just trying to like throw resources at us. It's been fantastic.
Did and each of those VCs take a board seat, or did any of them?
The board is actually still just Mike and I. None of them demanded a board seat. However, you know, we are thinking about what our board composition should look like, and you know, who are the right people for that. And so it's something that we're going to be working on, you know, in the next couple of months or for the next round as well. You know, who do we want to be on that board? But right now we control the board, and everyone's just been really like positive for us. It's been such a pleasure working with these guys there, and that rolled all into our seed round because the note converted at that moment, and so the total amount that we've raised now is $3.1 million.
What when you're pitching 10-1-10 Mucker and Act One, what kind of, you know, you say you're growing month over month, but you know, if you're growing or you say you're growing 100% month over month, but if you're starting from one restaurant to two, that, you know, what was your traction like when you were pitching these guys?
It was a really exciting time for our company. I mean, we had just started working with some of our bigger chains, Halal Guys and Johnny Rockets, and the traction and the conversations were just getting to another level compared to, you know, some of the local one-off mom-and-pop restaurants that we started with in L.A. And so, you know, they saw the product market fit. They saw like the just the people that were reaching out to us, who had basically done some research, found our solution, and they just, you know, we told them where we wanted to be, and they were like, "We are going to help you get there." And I felt it was really comfortable. I was able to be extremely honest with them. You know, I'd learned that the greatest way to pitch to somebody is to really like share exactly what's going on and you know, see if like I think at the end of the day, a lot of these VCs, they're looking to help. They're looking to help you. Not only do they want to like hit big investments, but they want to actually make an impact and be able to you know, provide resources that become the reason why these companies are successful. So I think we found some really amazing people who are so like different than what I anticipated VCs would be going into this. I really thought that everyone was like sort of your enemy. And it definitely does not feel that way with these guys.
What how do you activate them, or how do you leverage them? Do you just turn to them if you have a question about something, or are you, you know, having regular strategy sessions, or how are you getting value out of these investors you have?
Sure. We have, we're starting to develop like a weekly cadence with a lot of these guys. Mucker particularly is very hands-on with making sure that, you know, that we're being extremely thoughtful about our go-to-market strategy. And those guys have a ton of experience. They were early at eBay, and they're, you know, anything that we need in terms of, you know, we've let a lot of these guys know what positions we're looking to fill in the next couple months, and they've been sending along resumes and candidates, and working with some of the companies in their portfolio as well to discuss certain challenges and, you know, what it's like to try and go after an SMB market, and, you know, the different sales funnels and strategies like direct versus marketing. And I've really been able to lean on a lot of the other CEOs in their portfolios to hear from their experience and their challenges as well.
Yeah, it makes sense. Cool. Did you get pushback? I mean, selling to restaurants is notoriously tough. Like, did investors, you know, just outright pass on you because of the industry you're in, or did you get pushback on that?
Occasionally we get like an email response saying, you know, I've looked at the online ordering space, and, you know, one thing about our business is there is a hardware component, so that's not for everyone. You know, we had a lot of VCs, we don't do anything that touches hardware. We had VCs pass that said, you know, we're already an investor in another online ordering company or something that might be a conflict. I would say we ran into that more than anything. It's amazing how many companies are in a similar space, or, you know, even a VC that invested in a POS system was like, you know, this could potentially be a conflict later on.
So
it's really important to look at these portfolios and see, you know, are there strategic alignments in here? Are there any conflicts? But you never really know. So it's important to take as many meetings as you can, especially, you know, I would say taking the right person is better than taking a bigger check. We came across a couple of people who could have probably expedited the time to close the round, but you could just tell, you know, there wasn't that synergy and that match that happened right off the bat. And so, you know, you want people who are going to be in the room when things are going wrong, not people who you're scared to tell, you know, any challenges that you're having too. So I think we're very fortunate just to be in the situation that we're in. And even days after closing the seed round, we've already been approached by a number of Series A companies who saw the announcement and the fundraise, or reached out to the investors in the seed round looking for an introduction. And so it's funny, like, I thought I'd be in a position where, you know, we raise this money, now we get to really run and grow our business. And then, you know, moments after it happens, it's like, here's a whole bunch of other VCs that are talking about the next round and, you know, what they're looking for. And so we've already had those initial conversations with a lot of these guys. It's like leveling up, upping the table stakes.
Yeah, for sure. How are you? Sorry, I'm assuming you're not raising again already. But how are you keeping these inbound investors, you know, up to date with your progress, or are you just tabling it until you're actually ready to go raise? And when will you go raise more? Do you have a timeline in your own head of, like, how many restaurants on the platform you need before you go and raise more?
You know, we're looking at customer financing, and hopefully we'll be in a position where we won't ever have to raise again. And we'll be able to bring on people who can help more in an advisor way or a mentor way, or a board member instead of like an investor. But it's a little hard to tell timeline wise, you know, where we'll be even in a month based off of all the conversations that are happening now and the inbound leads. And we're going to be at a lot of expos this year, just trying to help as many restaurants as possible to really like take this on. And you know, I would say what we're doing is definitely working, and we're finding that a lot of the cities that we're now working in across the country, I think we're at a point where we're ready to throw some gasoline on this fire and let it blaze.
Yeah, cool. All right, cool. I'll let you get back to building the business, but one more question. What advice would you give to either, you know, first-time founders, in particular in the Los Angeles, Southern California market, who are, you know, thinking about going out to raise money? I mean, you got lucky, it sounds like, with your cousin who connected you to Gary, who had a network. But if you've got a startup in Southern California, how would you suggest they approach fundraising and getting plugged into the investor ecosystem?
Yeah, I mean, my advice would be, you know, really, in the beginning, when you don't have any money to work with, it can be very hard to grow something that has value. And a lot of entrepreneurs are scared to give up some equity in their company to bring on developers. But you know, if you're not willing to like build something that can actually have some legs to it, then you're never going to really get off the ground. So don't be afraid to, you know, use some of that equity in the beginning to bring the people on who can actually help get you to a point where investors are actually interested in what you're working on.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Use it as a currency. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I guess if people want to learn more, is it ordermark.com or getordermark?
Yeah, just ordermark.com. You could visit us there, and you know, if you have any questions, you can feel free to reach out. And we're as busy as we are, we're totally happy to hop on a call or reply to any emails, and we're just very grateful to give back to the community.
What's the best? Do you like to be contacted on LinkedIn if someone wanted to ask a question? What's your preferred channel?
Sure, you can actually email me directly. It's alex.cantor@getordermark.com.
Awesome, Alex. Okay, great. Thanks. And next time I'm in LA, I definitely want to check out Cantor's. Is it Cantor's Deli? What's the name of the restaurant?
Yeah, Cantor's Deli. If you're in town, we'll definitely go grab a pastrami and a matzo ball.
That sounds great. Actually, you're making me hungry. It's just before lunch, so. Good timing. All right. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. Continued good luck, and I'll catch you after your next round.
Great. Thanks so much for taking the time, and looking forward to seeing what happens next.
All right. Good luck, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.